James, my buddy, my pal, my special little boy. I've had a lot of time to think about this. I've had a lot of time to think about ripping your head off with my bare hands. When you look at me with those puppy dog eyes and you make that face looking like E.T. the extraterrestrial.
Hello and welcome to the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. My name's Kai Valentine, and as you can hear, it might actually be a better quality of recording from me this week, and that's because we are snuck away in the studios of Siren FM. Yes, the Spanish announce table may have been chucked out of their studios, but we are here in great quality. And we have two very special guests on the show this week, as always. The man to my left is the only man in the UK that will be suspected if if Davina McCall, Louis Theroux, or Sir David Attenborough gets killed this week, and that is Adam Pearson.
How are we doing? If that happens now, we're all going to feel really, really bad.
We are. Hopefully it'll happen after this goes out and not before, because that would be terrible for the editing.
It absolutely, absolutely would. It would be like a wrestler dying, you having a tribute show, and then reading the news day after going, oh, that's a thing, and having to backtrack on it.
I'm not going to lie, when I was doing Michael Jackson the other day for Legends on Siren FM, I was kind of sat there going, please, please be no more news stories until this is out. I've finished the script. I do not want to be having to rewrite a whole show. So, Adam, you've got a big week.
Yeah, got the Grayson Awards next Monday, Presenter of the Year, Final Four. I have to behave, though, at the party because I'm lecturing in Sheffield the next day on disability on TV. And as funny as it would be to hung up, lethally hungover, and just put my trophy on the desk in front of me and be like, there, I've made my point, and then just sleeping through it all, I can't do that. The agent might have a few things to say about that.
Just a then few.
We've got the US election coming up as well.
Yes, and that's why I'm not able to join you in Sheffield next week, because I will be here doing the election coverage on Siren FM. We start at 3 a.m. GMT time, and we'll be finishing when they announce the new president, probably around 10 a.m. So that's going to be a fun weekend and week. And yeah, it's going to be brilliant, though. And to my right, we have, for the first time on the European Uppercut Podcast, he is a presenter here on Siren FM. He presents On Topic, and he's a good friend of Adam as well. It's Niall. How are you doing, Niall?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Kai. A bit of a long week, but hey, we all have those.
Of course. Now, this is your first time on the podcast. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Never get to talk about wrestling this much, so great to have a fucking outlet.
Yeah, exactly. So you say you're a big wrestling fan. How long have you been watching wrestling for?
Oh, that's a hard question. I probably started watching about 14, 13 years ago.
Okay.
Cut off a bit during primary and secondary school because it wasn't, you know, the cool thing to do. But yeah, the last 6 years being back into it properly. Haven't been keeping up as much recently, just being a bit busy. But yeah, I've kept up enough to know how Hell in a Cell went. And that's the important thing.
That's the important thing for this week, I'm sure. Now, we are recording this early on, and I think it's time for us to reveal the reason why the Living Legend is not on the show this week. And that is because he has an interview this evening. Now, Adam, you know who it is. Niall, you know who it is. Shall we reveal it to everyone who he's going to be interviewing?
Let's reveal it to Valentine.
Actually, I'm just seeing that he did send me a message saying don't reveal it, but we need to... So I'm sorry, everyone, but we are going to give you a teaser, and that is that he has an interview with a Hall of Famer, a WWE Hall of Famer. So I believe that gives him good reason for being off this evening. But that will be available right here on the Trending Topics Network very, very soon. So make sure that you keep an eye out for that and subscribe. But as he is not here, and as we are recording this slightly early, we have no emails this week. But if you want to get in touch, you can do by emailing anything to do with wrestling, any questions you have, to eurouppercut@gmail.com, and we will read them out on next week's show. And as pointed out by the election coverage, I may be asleep. So let's get on with the show and go into this.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Yes, it's time for the Not-So Knockout News, and it's not really been a very, very large news week. It wasn't last week, and it seems to be the same this week. Not much going on when it comes to the world of wrestling, other than the pay-per-view. But we're going to break it down and have a look at some of the stories which are in the news. Adam, let's come to you first. What news stories have stood out to you this week?
Well, AJ Styles got locked out of his rental car. Discuss.
Oh. Niall, what's your thoughts on this?
I think that it is a tragedy, quite personally. I mean, I can't fault AJ Styles for it himself. The man can do no wrong. It's obviously the fault of the rental company.
It's the fault of the rental car. These rental cars.
By extension, you have to blame the company for providing such a faulty product.
Yeah.
This needs sorting out. If you want to make America great again, you need to sort out your rental car system. That's where the blame lies.
It's fine. Next week, when the wrestling news is AJ Styles sues rental car company, yeah. You know what happened there.
Let's move on to another news story, because Adam, I don't think there's much to go with there, is there?
I'll be honest, I'm clutching at straws right now. All I had to get me through this whole episode was that one news story and a sound effect. That's literally all I have. So I had that story and I had this.
Well, there is another news story which...
That's all I have for this episode, like...
Cheers, Adam. Cheers. So there is another news story which has stood out to me this week, and it does affect us here in the United Kingdom. And we're going to talk about TNA, which is something that it's been a little bit quiet on recently, unless it's bad things. And unfortunately, we're going to have to carry on with those bad things, because Challenge TV in the UK have announced this morning that they will no longer be carrying TNA programming as of January 2017. And they wanted to... they've pretty much wished TNA the best of luck in all their future endeavours, which is kind of hilarious. Adam, what's your thoughts on the current state of TNA and now losing their UK viewership?
This doesn't surprise me, at all. Because it's on Challenge TV, which is, towards the dark side of Freeview. So, yeah. I don't watch TNA. There's nothing since the final deletion has grabbed me. And so, yeah. As long as they replace it with something good, like Crystal Maze and Gladiators reruns, I'll be happy.
I still remember watching an episode. I still remember that about a year ago was the last time I watched an episode of TNA, and the only reason why I watched it was because it came on straight after Bullseye, and I didn't even know it was supposed to be on, but I decided to watch it anyway. Niall, have you ever watched TNA?
I watched it I kept up with it, I think, right up until Hogan came along, and I feel like that was a very good point to drop off. I think them losing their spot on Challenge, it does hurt them, but really the UK is not a big TNA fan base. Like, we have a good number of fans here, but comparative to America, we're much less big on it than they are over there. They're not particularly big on it over there either, to be fair, but...
I would argue differently in that I think this could be a huge, huge deal for TNA, because it seems like you said, the American viewers seem to be falling off on TNA, and it seems to be that it's these passionate markets that they need to keep at bay. And the UK, I feel, was a huge, huge part of that, in that there are a lot of, I hate using the term, smart wrestling fans over here that are really desperate for that, anything to do with wrestling and those alternatives. And I do feel that there is that possibility that TNA could really suffer from this. Adam, where do you see the future? We've talked about it over the last few weeks, but what do you feel the future is for TNA now? Do you feel that in the UK specifically, do you feel that another channel will pick them up?
I think it's a good acquisition if it's made by the right channel. I think it would fit in rather well on Channel 5.
Ah, yes.
Because they need to start showing things that aren't Hitler documentaries, benefit programs, and so-called pornography, which is what they're known for, and also other channels' knockoffs. Like, they've got Home and Away, Neighbours, and Big Brother are their three highest-rating things, all of which existed elsewhere before. I think this could be a really good kind of 10 to 11 o'clock slot for them.
Now, you have said in the past, Adam, that you wouldn't touch Channel 5 with a barge pole. if Channel 5 came to you and said, well, we've got this TNA programming and we're wanting someone to be some sort of presenter on it, would you be interested?
It would have to be, it would be a conversation I'd entertain, but it's still a very grey area for me, Channel 5. Well, I mean, I probably shouldn't say that because I've got stuff going to them on Monday. I love Channel 5, mate. Yeah, fucking love it. Why not?
We have seen over the last few weeks that ITV, I don't know whether you've seen this, Nat L, ITV have picked back up World of Sport, and they are bringing ITV Wrestling back to...
I hadn't seen that. No, that's quite a big deal, yeah.
And we still don't know what time slot it's going to be in. Obviously, it used to be Saturday night entertainment with the likes of Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks, Mick McManus. And the idea that that's coming back to free television in the UK could mean that there is, and with British talent, well, except for the Mexican sensation El Ligero from Leeds.
El Ligero.
El Ligero, yeah. I can never say it right. You'll find on this show, Niall, that... Adam, I think it's correct to say that I will try and pronounce names, not always successfully.
Kai just butchers foreign names, just absolutely butchers them.
And that's all that can be said about that. But we could see a resurgence of British wrestling on British television, so there could be a possibility that TNA might get into that market. I think they've fallen off at exactly the wrong time for them. But let's move on to some other news stories from the week. There was one that you saw, Adam, that you mentioned about Austin Aries.
Yeah, I'm injured, and a lot more seriously than people first thought. There was this weird... And I've seen the clip, and it's brutal. There was this weird communication error between him and... what's his name, Kai, the NXT champion?
Shinsuke Nakamura. I can say that one now. I have been practicing.
How long did it take you to get that one?
At first, it was Shinsuke Nakamura. I called him Noki something. Funaki.
Yeah, it sounded like he was saying like an off-brand phone. It was weird. Yeah, it had this weird communication error, and it which transpired in Shinsuke Nakamura kicking Austin Aries in the face for realsies, and the referee threw up the X symbol and they stopped the match. And the photos look brutal.
They really do. If you haven't seen this, then we will share it up on our page on Facebook. You can find that by going to www.facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. We'll post a link to that news story. It is absolutely brutal. But it sounds like he's going to be out for the rest of the year. Now, Austin Aries, do you follow NXT?
Loose. I know what's going on there.
Yeah.
It's rare that I have the time to catch a show, but I make sure that I keep up with what's going on there.
Yeah, I can be like that sometimes. So, Austin Aries, do you feel that... Because he's going to be out for the rest of the year, probably around January coming back, which means that he could possibly then be spending another 6 months in NXT. Where do you see his future, Niall?
So, if it's him potentially coming back in January, then... That could actually just be a Royal Rumble debut.
I set you up for that one perfectly. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, there is that possibility there, but I'm not sure whether I want him on the main roster straight away. Adam, no. What's your thoughts?
He needs to do well NXT because he's not quite there yet. He's with Roderick Strong, which, FYI, amazing acquisition. I love his work. I would put the NXT title on Rude, Bobby Rude, for January, yeah. And then have Rude Aries feud, because they feuded before, and it was amazing.
And have Aries come back babyface?
I'd bring it back heel. He makes a better heel.
And you'd have Rude as... Babyface,
well, Rude's music is over as hell, so therefore Robert Rude is over as hell.
I'm not sure whether they'll flip Rude whilst he's still in NXT. I think they'll save that for later on in his career. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe. I'm not sure. What are your guys' thoughts? Get in touch at the EU Pod on Twitter, or as we say on Facebook, European Uppercut Podcast, or email us, as we say, EuroUppercut@gmail.com. Now, are there any other news stories that are popping up for you guys right now?
Well, there was that one that I think you were telling me, Adam, right before we went on air, that apparently there's a couple of people backstage, mainly Kevin Dunn, who are not big on Becky Lynch's accent, which, I mean, it's not that big a story, but if there could be potential, you know, forced change in her accent, which is not something they should be doing, but there's potential for that.
Well, I've got to say, I cannot stand the people who get into media with an accent. I just think it's disgraceful and they should never be allowed to be in front of a microphone if you've got any sort of accent that's not the RPBBC. I can't even fake a paper.
You can't even fake talking properly, can you?
I think it would take a lot of work. I was telling someone today, because they were telling me about there's a radio presenter here who has just been cast in a video game doing a voiceover for a video game, and I was talking to him about it, and I was like, the only radio drama I've ever been cast in was a show called The Angels of the North, and it was about the last three people on Earth after the apocalypse, and they're all from Yorkshire.
Now that is typecasting and a half, isn't it, Kai?
Of course, yes.
That's like me playing a Bond bad guy.
Oh dear. but you'd still take the job.
Yeah, I've got a mortgage in it. I got a mortgage and a girlfriend, so yeah.
and you're always buying too. if you keep buying what they called the plaques from WWEshop.com whilst you're on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Has it turned up yet?
No. I need to taste them. I don't know, it's messed up somewhere. I did get the Jeff Hardy coloring book, however.
Oh, yeah. We went through a few weeks where we just sort of badgered Adam and went, go on, Adam, buy things. We'll go on shop.com and buy things. Jeff Hardy coloring book. Wow.
I want that now.
£3.50 ever.
So, Adam, on to the topic of Becky Lynch and her accent being a problem. What's your thoughts?
This is really weird for me, because I'm sitting there thinking, is that okay? Can you say that? Say, for example, when Kofi Kingston debuted and did that fake Jamaican accent, if he'd actually been Jamaican and people hadn't liked it, that would have been, like, racist. But
yes.
Because Becky Lynch is, like, Irish and a female, it's okay to go, oh, I'm not sure about the accent. FYI, I love Becky Lynch's accent. I love Becky Lynch. Becky, if you're listening, big, big fan of your work, I would lovingly and respectfully split you in half.
Oh, wow.
And lovingly and respectfully. Don't make this something that isn't, Kai. I used all the buzzwords that feminists bloody love.
Oh, I wish you'd have gone
the other route.
I used all the words that those feminists moan on about. So we
I do the same to a man because of quality.
We're going to move on now. And it's time.
Well, what about Niall? What does Niall think of Becky Lynch?
Niall, what's your thoughts on Becky Lynch?
I mean, I will also stick with the loving politely and respectfully, happily split you in half. But as far as her accent goes, I mean, we've got other Irish wrestlers on the roster. I mean, we're not exactly going to ask Sheamus or when he returns Finn Balor to start putting on a British or American accent. It's not happening. That's part of their character. Well, it's part of them as a person, but it's something that we identify with them as a character. You're not going to remove that from your character, especially from your, I believe, still current WWE SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yes.
Yeah, we could just make her not talk like Hornswoggle.
I think giving her the Hornswoggle voice is the worst thing we can do.
Well, it's the fact that it's Kevin Dunn, which is apparently the one that's really not a fan of her accent, so I think that's saying a lot. So it's time to move on.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Okay, it's now time to talk about Hell in a Cell, and there's only one thing that we can play in the background for this. I love having the studio, and that is, it's the Undertaker's theme tune. Adam can't hear it, but we can at least. So, we are going to talk all about Hell in a Cell. It happened on Sunday night. Niall, what's your thoughts? Overall, did you enjoy the show?
Overall, very, very good show for wrestling. A lot of the matches very fun. A lot of the matches very good. Had a couple down points. One or two matches that I would have done differently. One that I wouldn't have had. But other than that, I think it was a very solid show. Definitely better than Clash of Champions. That's not a hard feat. You could probably just stick on a video of a guy jacking off and it would be better than Clash of Champions. But
that depends on like what guy it is, really. If it was like kind of Brian Reynolds, then yes. But if it was sort of like, I don't know, Dappy from the Indubs, then it's probably a tie. And if it was you know, the black guard from Breaking Bad, LaBelle Crawford, if it was him, then give me Clash of Champions all day long.
Brilliant. So Adam, your overall thoughts as an overall subject, what did you think of Hell in a Cell?
I think Niall expressed it beautifully with his guy jacking off.
Yeah, there's no topping that.
But it was, yeah, I don't know how I top that. It was a really good pay-per-view. Blue Clash of Champions right out of the water. I liked how they ordered the matches. It was like a really good order to them. It flowed. They had like a Act 1, Act 2, Act 3 with the Hell in a Cell main event, which gave it a really good pacing. Rusev, Roman Reigns, surprisingly good. I thought it would be awful. Rollins and Owens stole the show. Chris Jericho is the most over thing in pro wrestling right now. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I was hoping he'd hit Rollins with the list. But that hasn't happened yet. That would have gotten like a massive pop.
I tell you what I loved about Raw was the fact that Chris Jericho is one of those guys who, I don't know whether you've both seen Raw yet, but one of the things is Chris Jericho knows that when he wants to be a heel, he will play that heel role, and he doesn't want people cheering him, and that's what's ace about it. So it's been absolutely fantastic to hear about that. So we
Raw talk afterwards, they were both so funny.
Yeah, I've got to admit they were
so funny.
Really, really hilarious. But one of the great things about it was that he then turned around and said that he when the crowd went, "You're on the," they were really wanting him to say, "You're on the list," and then he didn't say it, and they were like, "Yeah, it doesn't matter about that." He says, "You don't deserve to hear me say you're not on the list." So he knows exactly what he's doing, and we are now going to get on and talk about Hell in a Cell pre-show match. Let's start with that. So, on the pre-show, we had the Cruiserweights. Adam, did you watch it?
I did. and I don't know what they're doing with the cruiserweight. It's like there's still this distinction with the purple ropes that sort of like makes it a separate thing, and I think they need to get rid of that. Otherwise, it somehow means that they're taken less seriously. And the only person people cared about was Cedric.
Yes.
Outside of that, the crowd were a little bit dead. Then Cedric Alexander gets in the ring and people go nuts.
Yeah, it's been a bit strange as the run-up to all the cruiserweight matches, because there is a lot of promise there, and they're handling it okay. I wouldn't say that they're handling it badly, but I think there is room for improvement. I think if people start saying, well, we don't think that this should be happening, then they might be able to listen to us a little bit. But, Niall, did you check out the pre-show match?
I did, and this is actually going to be a moment where all your listeners decide that they hate me. I initially did not, and still haven't actually, watched the Cruiserweight Classic, or really kept up with Cruiserweight. So I watched this out of curiosity, and from that perspective, I really had fun in this match. Like, I really enjoyed watching it. From cruiserweights, you expect very flippy work, and it was very flippy, even by, you know, modern day standards, and very athletic. So even with that, like, I went to this only really knowing Sin Cara and Daivari. So just sort of getting to know everyone's moveset a bit more, as diverse as they all are, and sort of even with this match, I could sort of get to understand the character of each wrestler involved. And I think that if you're coming into this match not really knowing anything about the cruiserweights, this was a great introduction to them. If you have kept up with them, then it's a kickoff show. It's there to kill time. There's not really much to say.
Yeah, brilliant. I would agree with you completely there. And I do like the cruiserweights that are in this match. I'm still a little bit iffy on Sin Cara being in the division, but I think it is good that they have those veterans of WWE in there, just so that if someone's not been around for a few weeks or months and they see Sin Cara, they go, oh, I remember him, he's the guy who used to flip in the ring, hasn't he put on weight? So we're all agreed that it was a fun six-man tag team match. We're going to come back to the fact that you've still not seen the Cruiserweight Classic. Don't think that's going over our heads.
Yeah, I didn't think that would be let go anytime soon.
Because Adam hadn't watched it at one point, had you, Adam? And then
no, and then I got loads of it.
We basically got Adam to watch the first three episodes whilst we were doing the show live one day. So let's go back to Hell in a Cell. And next up we have Roman Reigns versus Rusev. That kicked off tonight's show. And it was a 24-minute match to kick off the show for the United States Championship inside the Hell in a Cell structure. Adam, what's your thoughts?
Way better than I thought it was going to be. Way better. Rusev's got this moustache going on. And CM Punk with the long hair and the beard. It's a little bit jarring for me. But really good match. The steps and the chain accolade was a real high moment for me. I think they made Roman look ridiculously strong. Roman looks like Superman in that match. But no, I liked it. It opened well. It served its purpose. I'm genuinely impressed with the Roman Reigns match.
Well, you were never a massive fan of his around WrestleMania time, was you, Adam? So are you now more accepting of being on the Roman Reigns bandwagon?
No, I have always been and will always be a Romophobe.
Oh, of course you would. Niall, what was your thoughts on this match?
I agree. It was a really good match. I knew it was 24 minutes. It felt around 16-ish to me, watching it. Like, it didn't feel that as long as it was, because it was kind of just constant action the whole match. I think if anything was to follow sort of the energy of the kickoff show match, especially for the crowd in attendance, this was probably the best shout. Yep. Rusev looked like a real heel. Like he properly went for it with, you know, his offense, apart from the weird spot where Roman was tied on the ropes and he had the kendo stick and he immediately thinks to hit on the protective plating. Apart from that, the moment where he threw Roman into the steps when they were set up in the corner, like, that looks brutal. Agree that Roman looked like Superman, but that is completely his character.
I think that's, in my opinion, that match is, and the later matches actually, that's how you do modern Hell in a Cell matches. We know that you can no longer use chair shots to the head and things like that, and it a lot of people, there was someone on another podcast who used to refer to it as a chairs and stairs match, because that was all you really got, chairs and steel steps. But I think they did really well to make imaginative spots throughout this pay-per-view, actually. And yeah, I was really, really impressed with it. Adam, got anything else to add on this match?
No, it was good. Like I say, I'm not Roman Reigns' biggest fan, but even I can acknowledge a good match.
Now, we're going to start skipping through them very shortly, but I want to go to the pick sheet to have a look at what other people have been, what other people on the podcast had predicted. Now, for the Cruiserweight match, we had a lot of people going babyface. Everyone went with the babyface team except for Living Legend and Kata, who went with heels. And then when we look to the rest of the card for the Roman Reigns versus Rusev match, everyone went with Roman Reigns except for, once again, the Living Legend. So, Legend, you're really not doing well. So, let's move on to the next match on the card, and that was Bayley defeating Dana Brooke in a 6-minute 30 singles match. Adam, your thoughts on this match and Bayley going over?
Right decision, boring match. I don't know what it is, and I don't know what they're trying to do with Bayley, but they're doing it terribly. So, that being said, anyone that's saying that Dana Brooke is fat is wrong. Like, Dana Brooke is toned! She's toned and tight, my friends. Yeah. And Becky Lynch is ever busy. Once again, with love and respect.
With love and respect will probably be the title of today's show. So, Niall.
My book, mate.
Niall, what's your thoughts?
So, when I was saying about the match that I didn't think should have been on the card, this was it. I understand that it is kind of intended as a piss break match. You
yes.
don't need that after one match. It felt very sort of consequenceless. It felt like a normal, I wouldn't even go as far as saying Raw, I'd say main event match. Not that it was a bad match, I think it was actually a fine match, but it doesn't need to be on a pay-per-view at all. I think it does nothing for Bayley or Dana. To my understanding, they want to build to Bayley versus Charlotte for one of the big four. I don't really think that this has helped to accomplish that in the slightest. And whatever they're doing with Dana, I have nothing to say about that, really.
I think they're going to be looking at pushing towards Bayley getting into that title opportunity area. And I think that after Survivor Series, because we're moving into the Survivor Series now, so there's a lot of different stuff going on, a lot of interesting stuff, because they're going into the Raw versus SmackDown days. So those storylines will be held on hold for a while. But I think it's going to be interesting. Looking at the pick sheet, everyone went with Bayley except for Biohazard, who went with Dana Brooke. A couple of us putting bets on that as well. DRG put a +5, as did Mr. Old School, myself, and Hallmark of Sweden. So congratulations to everyone who got +5s on that. One of the only times on this show where my predictions were actually helped by my bets, because the rest of it, not very much, but we'll get into that very, very shortly. Let's move on to the next match on the card, and that is Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson defeating Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Adam, what's your thoughts on the match?
I liked it. The right team went over. And it's because this was really good. And it's a real shame that they ruined it the next night on Raw. But no, this was a solid, entertaining tag match. I don't think it's furthered the feud or either of their tag team rankings, for want of a better term, anymore. But I had fun.
Did you say that you enjoyed their match on Raw?
No, I didn't. The match on Raw was awful. They ruined it on Raw.
I quite liked it. I thought it was quite fun. I mean, I know that we say that...
Did you like the TNA dig in the commentary?
I didn't. I missed that.
Do you remember what they said Gallows and Anderson spent their childhoods doing?
What did they say?
They spent their childhood smashing pumpkins.
Niall, what was your thoughts on this match? Enjoyed it?
I wasn't too big on the match, personally. I mean, I understand Enzo and Cass losing because they don't need to win ever. They are over as hell and nothing will change that. They made a fucking Toy Story reference work. I mean, we kind of have to call, you know, the club, Big Gal and Andy now, apparently. But
on Raw, they came out dressed as Woody and Buzz.
Okay, I quite like that, yeah.
So I thought it was a good match. I thought that 6 minutes, they only had 6 minutes 45 to do it, and that's quite short to get a decent tag team match in there. So has anyone got anything to add about the Enzo and Cass match?
Yeah, I do. So, obviously the club went over. Like I said, Enzo and Cass don't need to ever win. The one thing that did bother me about the match was that there was a whole minute or two of Cass ragdolling the club. And I understand that they still want Cass to look strong, but even though the club won, that doesn't make... It's made the club look weaker in a way, because if you can't 2v1, Gallows and Anderson are both pretty big guys, and like, it wouldn't make Cass look weak to be beaten up by two guys. Being handicapped it's reasonable to, you know, lose that fight. I think it just made the club look weak in a way to not be able to handle Cass by themselves.
They really are pushing that idea that they really are pushing that idea that he's absolutely unstoppable, which could mean good things, but it can also mean that you get the Roman Reigns reaction once he leaves Enzo behind, but we'll have to wait and see. Let's move on to the next match, because we're going to have to speed through these a little bit now. The next match was the WWE World Heavyweight Champion... Oh, no, the WWE Universal Championship match. Slap on the hand
there,
Kai.
Scale it up, Kyle, come on.
Kevin Owens defeating Seth Rollins with the help from Chris Jericho. Adam, what was your thoughts on this match?
Match of the night by far. Loved it, loved it, loved it. The two tables spot was amazing. For me, Kevin Owens can do no wrong. He is my hero, he is my bae. And whilst I don't love him and respect him in that way, he's great.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think it was just a phenomenal match. Everything, you know, everything lined into each other. It was step for step perfect. I think the thing that really surprised me about the match was when Rollins gave Jericho the buckle bomb against the cage, because I was very much under the assumption that they were sort of phasing it out after recent injuries.
I think that they have just been... Now, I'd love to say that it was just a coincidence. I honestly do believe that. I don't believe that that move is as dangerous as some people are making out. But then again, I've never stepped inside the ring. We'll have to ask one of the wrestlers, see what they think. Adam, what's your thoughts on the buckle bomb move?
I'm good with it. I think we're getting all a little bit we've already taken the curb stomp from Seth Rollins. How much more can we do to this man's moveset? It would be to the point where it's just like, just do what Eva does, Seth. Seriously, stop injuring people and just take Adderall, for fuck's sake. So, no, I'm fine with it. It's a good-looking move. It's as much of the person taking it as doing it in regards to its execution. And kind of, I think the Sin Banner thing was a freak accident. And I think the Sting thing has a lot less to do with the Buckle Bomb and a lot more to do with Sting being as old as God's dog.
And I think that's the point where, great match though, amazing match, and I wish we could spend more time on it, but we're going to move on now to the next match, and that was for the Cruiserweight Championship. But before we do that, I best give the listeners the pick sheet, just check back in with that. Everyone went with the club except for two people, Mop Jockey and Kata. So everyone with the club there, a couple of people going plus fives, yourself, Adam, included in that, as was Mr. Kiwi Tuts getting a plus five as well. Have you done quite well on this? Yeah, you have actually done quite well on the picks here, Adam. I think you're joint first for this pay-per-view.
Really? Because I got a couple of bets wrong. I think everyone did. I think everyone put points on...
Oh, one second. You'd spread your bets a little bit more, actually.
Yeah, I'd hedged. I hedged on the... Because the ones I got wrong were TJ Perkins and Sasha Banks.
Which you'd only put 3 and 2 on, respectively. Yeah. So I messed up my bet. I bet on Sasha, New Day, and Bayley plus fives. So yeah. I lost out.
You're at minus five overall.
Actually, no, I ended up with 0 overall. Because I did all right on the other picks, but but yeah, it was not a fun one for me there. I was so close to getting out in front of everyone, and I messed it up on this pay-per-view, but we've still got until WrestleMania to get the picks back.
Catching up.
Yeah, I know you're slowly catching up, Adam, I know. So let's move on to the next match, and that is Brian Kendrick. Oh, no, I was going to give Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins once. What am I saying, Kai? Then for Owens, everyone went with Owens except for Hallmark and Mop Jockey. Once again, Mop really didn't have a good pay-per-view here, but he did end up with more points than me, so so I can't really complain. So on to the next match, Brian Kendrick and TJ Perkins. Kendrick coming away with the W via submission. Adam, your thoughts on this one? Are you happy that the Brian Kendrick has walked away as the second ever, apparently, Cruiserweight champion in WWE history?
No, I love TJ Perkins. I love his music, I love his moveset, and I love the way he killed himself on Raw. I love everything about him.
What about yourself, Niall?
I mean, Kendrick didn't even get a televised entrance, for the love of God.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised at the finish. I think the story slowed down the match a bit too much for a Cruiserweight match. I'm going to try and make a point really quickly here, because we're low on time. But when, I think this on Legends of JBL interview with Bischoff, he sort of made the Cruiserweight division to very much hype up the crowd in between like longer matches. So to see sort of a Cruiserweight match start so slow was a really weird feeling. And the crowd really just weren't into it there at all, I don't think.
The crowd have been very, very... I don't think they're used to these Cruiserweights again yet. I think that it all depends on what city they're in, and I'd have thought that on Sunday night they'd have been really behind the Cruiserweights. I'm hoping that by the time it gets to Survivor Series, we get to a point where, because we're in Toronto, Canada, and that's an amazing city for wrestling fans, so hopefully by then the fans will be there and in full swing and get behind these Cruiserweights. But Kendrick walks away with the championship. Although I really love Perkins, I do love Brian Kendrick, and I think that this is great that they've actually created a really... Because one of the things I was worried about with the Cruiserweight division was the storylines and whether the storylines will live up to it, and I really, really was impressed with this storyline, and they've built a solid, solid base, and it will continue on for many, many months, I'm sure. on to the penultimate match of the night, and that is Cesaro and Sheamus defeating the New Day via disqualification. That is a very important point, as the New Day still walk away your WWE World Tag Team Champions. Niall, let's come to you first. What's your thoughts?
I enjoyed the match. I think that it had the sort of right finish where you need to give Sheamus and Cesaro momentum, but at the same time, you want to keep the titles on the New Day, so I don't think Sheamus and Cesaro are ready for that. I mean, if they had the titles, it would feel like we were just reliving Team Hell No, which I don't think we need right now. As enjoyable as that was, I don't think we need to get to quite there yet.
Yeah, I would agree. Adam, what's your thoughts?
Push Cesaro. Saying it. Push Cesaro. I'm probably gonna get lynched for this. I'm sick of the New Day. Like, they're clearly gonna give him the demolition record because they've been hinting at it for so long. But they're just getting a bit boring. And it's all a bit cheap, and it's all a little bit kind of 1985. Heel tactics, and I'm just upset that my boy Cesaro and the Ginger Ghost got screwed out of the tag titles.
I am going to agree with you there, and it was something that I was thinking all weekend, and I was going, oh wow, I really hope that when it comes to Wednesday, I don't have to bring up the fact that I'm a bit down on the New Day. And then they did that backstage segment on Raw, which I absolutely loved. Have you seen that, Adam?
I haven't seen a backstage segment yet, no.
They basically dressed up in Halloween costumes for Raw, and they would... they basically dressed up as the Godfather, as Papa Shango, and as what was the other guy? What's his other gimmick? I can never
remember. Godfather?
No, because he was. Is he the same?
Does he have a third gimmick?
Was he? I'm quickly going on to
This is verging on Walker Rules territory, I'll be honest.
It really is. I hope it's the same guy. You just kill some time whilst I look.
Okay, let's just start naming like random black people that have been in WWE.
No, please don't do that.
Cedric Alexander, Devon Dudley.
It won't be this. Now, this is going to make it even worse if he wasn't, because he was also in the Nation of Domination, wasn't he?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah, I think they were dressed as him when he was in the Nation of Domination. But I may be completely wrong here. And I've offended someone, so we're gonna move on from this segment.
Feel free to email in at europica@gmail.com with the subject line, Kai is a little bit racist.
I'm gonna get
and we'll deal with your complaint. Effectively.
I'm going to get so many complaints for that one. So let's quickly move on to
the main event.
Let's move on to the main event. And
Rated
that was...
R is going to kick your ass.
I know. Charlotte Flair defeating Sasha Banks in a Hell in a Cell match. The first ever women's Hell in a Cell match. And the first time that the women's division has main evented a WWE main roster pay-per-view for the Raw Women's Championship. Adam, what was your thoughts on this match?
I loved it. I love Charlotte Flair. She's so hateable. It's amazing. She's like wrestling's Katie Hopkins. It's amazing.
No, I absolutely love this match as well. Niall, I was speaking to you about this before. You weren't as big a fan of the match.
So, I did like the match. I think the general consensus is the pre-match segment drew on a bit longer than it should have, more due to sort of issues with the equipment they were using than anything. The entrances, brilliant, and as a sort of spectacle and draw, it was what it was. Just the match itself, I don't think it was as good as the other Cell matches on the card. I think that the powerbomb spot on the table right at the start was, it more so made women, like, it was very reminiscent of the sort of Ambrose Rollins spot, I believe, in 2014.
Yes.
Except from a much lower down height, which I believe it more so makes it look like women wrestlers are a bit less durable than male wrestlers, which I don't believe is the direction that they should be pushed. I mean, I'm not asking for anyone to, you know, pull a Shane McMahon on us. I don't want to ever see that again. Yeah. But
I've watched that so many times on YouTube. It's amazing. I want to see it every day. Every day.
I want to see that video every day. I don't want to see it replicated ever. I know that Shane's lived. I don't know if anyone else will live that spot. I thought it was a solid match. It was the ending.
I thought Big Show should retire during that move.
I'm pretty happy if he never wrestles again after that. That, like, watching that live, it scared the life out of me.
So I really, really enjoyed that match. I was a big fan of that, and Adam, what's your thoughts on Niall's comments there?
Maybe it did go on too long. I heard that they actually wanted to go on the top of the cage, and it was vetoed. That they wanted to go higher and push it further, but the powers that be said no.
Right. Well, that makes it a little bit... That I understand a little bit more. Now, the reason why I'm laughing is because during that I was looking up about the three faces of Charles Wright. And yes, it was him when he was in the Nation of Domination. It was the same guy. I knew that was correct. I just didn't want to make any assumptions and offend anybody. So I've put it down there now. I was correct.
I'm glad you were correct too, because I said yes with such confidence that if you weren't, then...
Adam, just type into Twitter New Day Halloween and you'll see the photo of the three of them together backstage. But yeah, I was a big fan of Charlotte versus Sasha Banks. I think that was an amazing match for something that we've never really seen before from the women's division. I thought they used the cell well. I think that it was great to see them. As soon as I saw them like start to scale the cage, I went, oh wow, this is actually going to happen. And I think it's setting the boundaries of... They've set the boundaries now, they've broken so many boundaries, but they've set new boundaries which can be broken again next year. But has anyone got anything else to add about this pay-per-view?
I've got one more thing about the match.
Okay, go ahead,
I think that the actual best moment about the match was when Sasha and Charlotte were just standing in the ring right at the start as the cell lowered, and you got the close-ups of both their faces, and you could see the legitimate fear in their eyes. I thought that was... a beautiful spot. Kevin Dunn did good camera work for once.
For once. I would agree there. Are you happy? This is to both of you. Are you happy with the result with Charlotte going over?
I'm not. I think the first women's main event on a pay-per-view, the first women's Hell in a Cell match in Sasha's hometown, you really needed a feel-good finish, and it just didn't deliver that finish that you needed.
I think that's part of the reason why I liked it, though, because I was so certain that Sasha was going to win, and the idea was, yeah, she's in her hometown, it's the first women's Hell in a Cell match, and then I went, ooh. And when I saw it happen and it finished, I went, wow, I didn't expect that. And I think that's what was the best thing about it for me, the fact that it was unpredictable. I mean, we look at the pick sheet and everyone went with Sasha Banks except for a couple of people. The only person was Andy Anderson. So well done, Andy. You got one right. You've done actually really well on this pay-per-view. So I shouldn't laugh because I got 0 points. But, I'm not bitter or anything like that. So when we look at the sheet, like I say, Banks has got... everyone lost on Banks pretty much, and a lot of people lost a lot of points. I think I couldn't even add up how many points we all lost on that one. But that's coming towards the end of the show. Adam, have you got anything else to add?
No, it was just a really good, enjoyable show. I'm glad I kind of stayed up and tuned in.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Okay, it's coming towards the end of today's show, and we're going to talk about our we're going to give our final thoughts for the evening. And we're going to start off with my final thought, and that is that WWE Raw is coming to the UK next week. Now, I presume that none of us have got tickets for anything.
I'm a very poor student, of course not.
And Adam's a very poor BBC television presenter. No, you've got a busy week next week, so you probably wouldn't have been able to anyway.
No, I'm booked solid. This happened last year as well. I bought tickets, sold them, then everything changed and I couldn't go.
Oh, that was for NXT TakeOver, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, Christ.
That was a shame.
Livid.
But we know that there are a couple of people going. The listener to this show, Sam Langford, he is going next week to a SmackDown Live event. And also, the Living Legend, the host of this show, well, the regular host of this show, will be in attendance for Monday Night Raw in Glasgow. So that's where they will be, live from Glasgow on Monday night. And Legend wanted to know our thoughts on what we saw coming. And I know that there isn't Bill Goldberg or Brock Lesnar booked on the show or booked to be there, but Legend is really, really hoping that one of them turns up. Do you think there is a shred of chance, Adam? I think I asked you this last week as well.
Hell no.
Do you see anything happening next week in Glasgow, or do you feel that it might just be a sort of let's push it on with the storyline style?
It'll be a push it on with the storyline, or a lot of filler and not a lot of killer.
But hopefully you'll enjoy yourself, Legend. Niall, what's your thoughts on what's coming up next week? Because we also know that on SmackDown there will be a WWE Women's Championship match between Becky Lynch defending her championship against Alexa Bliss. Do you see Alexa taking the championship in Scotland?
From what I've heard, Alexa's really found herself recently, like as a character and a wrestler. So like, I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kept it on Becky. I think that very much could just be a 50-50, and like, you made any guess and it'd be a valid one.
Yeah, I would say that it's very, very 50-50. I mean, Michael Cole probably believes that Glasgow is just up the road from Becky Lynch's hometown, so they might be thinking, well, let's take the title off her in a home area. But let's move on to Adam, your final thoughts for this evening.
I am very excited for some amazing Survivor Series action at the end of this month. So taking it back to traditional stuff, there's three of them booked, and I love this style of match. I am stoked beyond all belief.
I really, really agree with you there. I cannot wait for this. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I love the idea that pretty much every match except for Goldberg and Brock Lesnar is going to be a Survivor Series elimination style match. Which match are you most looking forward to, Adam?
The Raw SmackDown 5-on-5.
I cannot wait as well, yeah. I remember one of the first DVDs that I had of wrestling was back in 2005. I had Survivor Series 2005 on DVD, and I used to watch it all the time, and that was, I believe, one of the last times that Raw and SmackDown went head-to-head on Survivor Series, at least. And there was, on there, it was Randy Orton, who was the main guy in the SmackDown side, but they also had on the Raw side, they had Shawn Michaels, they had Kane, Big Show. SmackDown side had Batista, JBL, Orton, Mysterio. It was just a fantastic match and big, big names in this tag team match. And it looks like it's going to be the same this year.
I am excited!
Niall, what's your thoughts leading into Survivor Series?
I'm not too up to date on what the card is. I'm actually quite excited for Goldberg and Lesnar, just to see the match done, you know, properly this time. Let's please not have it like it was at WrestleMania all those years ago.
21.
For the love of God, one actual match.
Well, how old were we last time that God, it's been 12 years, has it, since that match?
I would have been 8.
I'd have been a little bit older. So, yeah, that's... Finally, I'm not the youngest one on the... Well, actually, am I? You're maybe the same age. Yeah, I don't know. I've never asked you your age, so I'm trying to work it out in my head. 20. Well, when are you born?
October.
October. That makes him... Yeah, that makes you younger than me. Good. Oh, just... Whatever, yes. Yeah.
Small victories.
31
bitches.
Well, I think it's coming towards the end of today's show. Adam, tell everyone, say goodbye and tell everyone where they can find you.
Goodbye, everyone. Been lovely hanging out with you on this fine insert day here, Editing Independent. You can find me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson, Instagram at Adam_Pearson_TV. And just in case I'm not here before then, on the 14th of November, you can see me on Series 2 of Trips to the Restaurant Trade on Channel 4. Ever wondered how much sugar's in those iced coffee drinks? Well, get ready to find out.
So, thanks for that, Ed. Niall, where can people find you and say goodbye?
I'm not on Twitter, but I guess if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's just Niall Francis, that's it. I'm not exciting, but thanks for having me on the show. I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Is it like mine, just pictures of burgers?
Mine's just pictures of me smashed, so...
Also,
if you want to tune in from 7 till 8 every Friday... if you're in the Lincolnshire area on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, or you can find us online at www.sirenonline.co.uk.
I'll have him trained up in no time. You can find me on Twitter at Kai J Valentine. That's KaiJValentine. You can find my radio show Squabblebox every Sunday breakfast here on site. Well, not here, but on Siren 107.3 FM. You can also find Legends on Siren FM 10 p.m. every Monday night on Siren 107.3 FM, or later on the Trending Topic Network, right here on the Trending Topics Network. And if today has taught you anything, then make sure you check out all the other great shows on the Trending Topics Network.
Well, on Siren as well.
On Siren as well, but on the Trending Topics Network. And if anything has taught me, if this show has taught me anything today, it's that I shouldn't explain the Walker rules to our new host before the show, because then I nearly break them just as I start to play the Nation of Domination theme in the background of this goodbye. So we would like to thank you for tuning in to today's show of the European Uppercut podcast. We will be back next Wednesday. Probably be a bit tired from me, but Living Legend will hopefully be back too. Big thank you to Niall. A big thank you to Adam. And make sure that you check them out on their Twitter and their Instagrams to see them smashed. Check out everything else on the Trending Topics Network, and we'll see you all right back here next week.
Oh man! Guys, mother of all European uppercuts!